I'm actually going to be closing my message a little different today, so I want to give you a little heads up, or I want you to be thinking about something in your life. I want you to be thinking about maybe something that's been lately, maybe it has been something that was years ago, but think about God moving in some way in your life. Maybe answering a prayer, maybe providing provision, maybe a miracle. Maybe it is strengthening you or helping you through a difficult time. In short, I want you to remember something where God has shown himself faithful. Be thinking about that, because I'm going to come back to that towards the end. The last couple of Sundays, we have looked at two very important parts of worship that we participate in. The Lord's Supper, it's a significant reminder of what Christ has done for us. It is something that reminds us of Christ's ultimate sacrifice that brought us life and forgiveness and freedom. His body that was broken and his blood that was shed that led to a new covenant between us and God through Jesus Christ. Then last Sunday we looked at baptism. Water baptism is also a significant reminder. For those being baptized, it is an act of worship, an act of obedience. It is a confession of repentance and a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Remembering Christ's death and resurrection and remembering what Christ paid for to wash our sins away. And if you're not the one being baptized, then your presence there for someone else who is being baptized, your presence is encouraging them as well. By our presence, we are participating a little differently, but remembering all that Christ represents just the same. I'm recapping those, recapping those messages from the last couple of weeks because they're moments, they're milestones, they're things that we participate in that take us back to Christ. We're taken back to Christ to remind us of his goodness, of who he is. They remind us that he is the Son of God and that he came to bring us salvation when we put our faith in him. We are also reminded of what we are saved from without him. Without him, we're lost. We're in the dark. Without him, we may be dealing with spiritual oppression now. Without him, we will have eternal torment to come. That is, which is the judgment we deserve, but are spared from when we put our faith in Jesus. I was reading an article this week that, as I was preparing for today's sermon, and the article really stuck out to me. I think it was because it was saying the very thing I was feeling led to speak on. Taking time to remember God's faithfulness. You see, with communion and baptism, we're reminded of God's faithfulness and that we have eternal life to look forward to, and living a life today with Jesus and his Holy Spirit guiding us and strengthening us for his work. But are we taking time to remember God's faithfulness in our lives? The article I read said, when it comes to remembering God's faithfulness, we can be especially forgetful. On really good days, I forget a lot of things. On bad days, I probably forget most things. Sometimes as Christians, we can suffer from spiritual amnesia or spiritual Alzheimer's. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't something new. This is a problem with humanity. Just read through the Old Testament and you'll clearly see this. I'd like to share an example with you that many of you know. An example is found in Exodus. The Israelites are slaves in Egypt. They cry out to God for help because they're being treated so poorly. They're crying out to God, help. So what does God do? He sends Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And in doing so, there's many great plagues that hit Egypt. And the final plague is the death of the firstborn. And we talked about the Passover a couple weeks ago. The Passover became an annual feast or a celebration to remember that God saved them from the final plague, but also, most of all, God saved them from Egypt. But I'm still getting to my point here on forgetting. I'm not forgetting where I'm going. But after Moses leads them out of Egypt, God uses Moses and all the people leave Egypt after that final plague. What happens? The people see God work in a mighty way with all these plagues. The people see God saving them from Egypt. And they're walking out. They're leaving by God's mighty hand. And then what do? They look back and they see Pharaoh and his army coming. And they forget everything that God has done, and they start whining. Why, God, would you take us out of Egypt only to let us die here? So what does God do? He parts the Red Sea. Huge miracle. And the people walk across dry ground with a wall of water on the left and a wall of water on the right. Pretty spectacular, right? And they walk through. And Pharaoh's army thinks, well, if they can do it, so can they. So they follow and pursue the Israelites. And what happens? God allows the Red Sea to close in on them, killing the army. God saved the people. So the Israelites, this happens, and they are praising God. They're praising God, and they're rejoicing. This is in Exodus 14, if you want to know that chapter. But Pharaoh's army, they drowned. So in Exodus 15, the people are singing and rejoicing. But a few verses later, after praising God, what happens? They forget. Where are we going to get water from, Lord? We're going to die out here from thirst. God, don't you care about us? Don't you love us? So what does God do? He provides them water. So they get their fill of water. God performs a miracle again. And then Exodus 16 happens. After God provided water to drink, they quickly forget of how good and loving and great God is. And they start complaining again. God, we're hungry. We need food. Remember that time when we were sitting around pots of meat in Egypt? That was such good times. God, now you're leading us out to the middle of nowhere to kill us off. How quick they forgot. How quickly they forgot. They forgot not only how bad it was in Egypt that they were crying out to God for help to begin with, but they also forgot of who God is. And He is taking care of them every step of the way. You know, it's almost really sickening to read through that section of Scripture. It is, because it's like as we're reading through this, we just see this roller coaster of up and down and up and down. They're praising God one moment and grumbling to Him the next. But it was obvious that God was leading. God was in control. God was providing, yet the people complained and grumbled almost every step of the way. Even when they were to go into the promised land, even when God brought them to the place that He said that they could have and that they could go into, what did the people do? Only two people trusted God. The rest are saying, the people in the land are too big. The people in the land are just too strong. Their cities are too fortified. Whine, complain, grumble. But we're different though, right? I mean, we have God's Word and we know those examples are for us to learn from, so we must be different, right? Huh. I see a lot of heads shaking no. There are times that we see God move in mighty ways. And only a day or two later, we're crying out to God, "Don't you care about me? Don't you know what I'm going through?" You see, I think it's easy to be so focused on our pain right now. We can be so focused on our discomfort right now, our desires that aren't being met right now, that we are blinded just like the Israelites were. God instituted feasts like the Passover to remind people to look back or to remember and say, "Wow, God, You've been faithful." Now, every time we take communion, we look at what those elements represent, the bread representing Christ's body, the cup representing Christ's blood. We look at those things and we say, "Wow, God, thank You for loving me so much that You'd send Your Son." We recognize and remind ourselves, and we stand in awe of all that Christ has done. You see, Jesus gave us His life so that we could have life. But there's so much more. We know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are active every day and everywhere right now. Yet it is so easy to fall into that same routine as the Israelites did. And don't worry, no one here is immune from feeling that way at some point in time. I have. But we cannot forget what God has done through His Son, and we cannot forget the many ways Christ has impacted our lives individually. Christ has blessed me immensely over many years. The song we sang right before the sermon here, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Those lyrics, the font is Jesus Christ. Every blessing comes from the Lord. My first scripture I'd like to share with you is James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above. But that song has an interesting phrase in verse 2, and I know Rhoda has explained it a couple of times, but it fits this message here. So I'm going to explain it too again here. The phrase I'm talking about is, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come." Those two lines say a lot, but so many don't really understand it. Many don't understand what is being said because it's in older English. Well, don't get me wrong, I don't speak that either. And I did have to look up and try and figure out what those lyrics, what they're saying. Oh, I actually have it up here. That first line really comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7. "Here I raise mine Ebenezer." I'd like to read out of 1 Samuel chapter 7 and just try and give you an idea of what is being spoken of here in this song. So 1 Samuel 7, starting with verse 7. I'm having to read more to kind of give you a little background to know what's going on. "When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, 'Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines.' Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were rooted before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar." God protected the Israelites and gave them victory. That is a summary of these scriptures. God rescued the Israelites who were afraid of the massive army coming up against them. The Israelites didn't deserve their rescue as they had struggled being faithful to God. They struggled being faithful to Him. They didn't deserve their rescue. But God intervened. He answered their humble prayers. He answered Samuel's prayer, and he threw the Philistine army into confusion and panic. The victory was not the Israelites. God gave them victory. And Samuel then does something. Let's read on in verses 12 through 13. "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far has the Lord helped us.' So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines." Samuel basically made an altar to the Lord, a place to worship the Lord, and he called it Ebenezer. Ebenezer is actually two Hebrew words that are put together: stone, help. The stone was there to help remind the people that God helped them up to that point. The, Eben, The Ebenezer is meant to remind the people of the great work of the Lord that took place, to remind them in the days, weeks, months, and years down the road, to remind them what God had done. God had given them help up to that point. Now the people are going to face hardships and difficulties, but in that moment, in that time, there was only one credited with a victory. That was God. If in the future they're struggling, if in the future that they are again in fear, they look back and remember that God was faithful and that they are not to turn away from God, but continue to look to Him for help. That Come Thou Fount song also has another line in it. Prone to wander, something we see happening when people forget who God is and what He's done. Let us not forget. Let us continually be reminded of who we are in Christ. I want to take another little trip back in the Bible as Joshua and the Israelites got to enter the promised land. After many years in the desert wilderness, they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. I'd like to read this out of Joshua 4:18. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what He had done to the Red Sea when He dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." This is another example of setting up milestones, setting up reminders of who God is and what He has done. For us, we probably don't put stones here or there, but we do other things. An Ebenezer would be markers of remembrance, things that we put down or things that we keep to remind us a memory of God's presence, of God's provision, or the work that He has done in our lives. For some people, it may look differently. Maybe there's a special date in your mind, a date that maybe you gave your life to Christ, a date that your life changed forever. Maybe you keep a prayer journal, something to remind you of the things that were prayed for, and you can look back and see how God answered them. Maybe you have pictures that remind you of something that God had done. I know of a person who actually wrote a blessings book. It is literally filled with fond memories and blessings that they have experienced in their life. Let me tell you, it's become a book. Other things may just be mental notes to help remember. Remembering and giving thanks to the Lord are important. There's a lot of times I've shared in messages where Scripture, you know, even when we're praying for something, we pray and we give thanks because again, it's easy to forget what God has already done. And it helps us to look and give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. Sometimes we just need to share those blessings, those moments in time, those memories, so that we can be reminded of how great our God is, and that others can be encouraged by how great our God is. Now, this message is kind of short. We're only a little after 11:30. But I want to take some time to hear from you. I want to hear about God's provision. I want to hear about God's protection. I want to hear how God has intervened. I want to hear about God's victory story in your life. I want to hear of the things that you are thankful for. And we can encourage each other by telling of God's faithfulness. For some of you, you might be struggling, maybe forgetting what God has done. Let this be an uplifting time that even in distress that we can know that God is faithful and He is always in control. Even when we may feel like things are chaotic around us and out of control, God is still in control. Jesus is still on His throne. So, I'm going to start. One of the biggest things that I feel God has blessed me with is life. Not just because I'm living and breathing, but I have life in Him. I am saved. I was a sinner. And because of Christ, I get to live right now under His authority. And I can look forward to an eternity with Him. God has blessed me with a family, a tremendous family. My wife, almost 20 years. She is and will always be God's gift to me. And my children, I have 5 of them. They are each a gift. Now, sometimes I have to remind myself of this as I mutter under my breath, thank you, Lord, for this gift. But they are a gift. Before going into ministry, when I was in law enforcement, God protected me countless times. Several times were pretty close. Pretty close calls. He protected me. And that's why I'm here today. When the Lord called me to ministry, He really turned my life upside down. I was humbled. I was broken. But you know what? That was necessary. Necessary in making God first in my life. Following the Lord at times has felt like I'm walking blindfolded, trusting that where God is leading me, trusting I'm not going to fall off a cliff. Don't always know where He's taking me, but trusting Him, I'm still here. Learning to trust Him in all areas of my life hasn't always been easy, but God's been faithful. He's been faithful every step of the way. When it's time to be a pastor, the Lord brought me here, and it hasn't always been easy being a pastor. It's just life. But God has been faithful every step of the way. I've had the pleasure of ministering alongside all of you, and you're truly a family. That's a blessing. A church family that likes being with each other. That's a blessing. God is first in my life, and I will serve Him until the day He calls me home. And you know what? There's so much more I could share. I could go on and on and on. But I have an eternity with Christ to look forward to. So thank you, Jesus. Now, you might have something specific. Maybe you have something general that you could share, but let's take some time to hear from you. And I know that some of you could probably go on for hours too. So here's what I'm asking. Let's try to limit a few minutes each so that we can hear from a number of people.